Mitchell Lewis with us this hour. Why is 2020 so ominous? We'll find out from him. We'll take some of your calls as well on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back, Mitchell Scott Lewis with us. Mitchell, 2020.
Well, before we go into that, just for 1 second, I want to, emails are already coming in.
Of course.
I just want to explain to your listeners, I'm not defending either of these candidates. I'm not defending Hillary for what she's done. I think the whole system is broken.
Nor are you putting them down.
No, I think the whole system is completely broken. And I think if we don't change our political ways in America, we're going to be in a terrible period, which leads me to 2020. By the way, both of these candidates have serious ego problems, okay? It's Donald Trump is a full moon baby, born with Uranus on his sun and the moon in Sag opposing it, Mars on his ascendant. Terrible ego, no sense of reality, no sense of limitations. Hillary has Pluto conjunct Mars. Power. It's all about power with both of these people. And, you know, again, I am by nature, you know, a patriot, and I'd like to see America get better. So, leading up to 2020. In 2020, we have a combination of astrological configurations. First, Jupiter conjunct Saturn. In our history, George, as I'm sure you know, 7 presidents have died in office. 1840, 1860, 1880, 1900, 1920, 1940, 1960. Every president that was elected every 20 years died in office, either by being assassinated or natural causes. In every one of those 20 years, Saturn conjunct Pluto in an Earth sign. In 1980, they conjuncted in an air sign. Reagan got shot in the shoulder, which is ruled by Gemini, an air sign, and he survived. And now astrologers are trying to decide, has this pattern been broken? Because George W. Bush, it wasn't, he was fine. And I'm not sure. But I think that in 2020, when it comes back to Capricorn with Pluto there as well, on top of America's Pluto, it's a very ominous time, not just for our leader, but for the country in general. First of all, Pluto rules Plutonium. And America has Pluto in Aquarius, in Capricorn, and all of these planets are going to hit America's Pluto. Now, does that mean we're going to have a nuclear explosion? Maybe. I mean, I hate to be I'm not a doomsday prophet by nature. It's just not who I am. I try to be optimistic. I have a lot of Sag in me, too. I'd rather sit on the beach than sit and worry about the end of the world. But I chose an interesting career.
Yes, you did. We both did.
Yeah, right? But it gives me a great deal of pause when I look at what we're heading to in 2020, which is why I think this election is so important, that whoever we elect right now is not only going to lead us for 4 years, but it's going to define the Supreme Court for the next 30 years.
So are you saying, though, that whoever we elect is going to lead us into this 2020 disaster?
No, because I don't, like I said earlier, I believe in proactive astrology. I think that if we make the right choices, I don't think we're going to be able to...
Well, you're assuming, Mitchell, we're going to make the right choices. What if we don't?
Well, in that case, we're going to be in trouble.
Okay.
George, I'm doing an article for Dell Horoscope magazine. They're going to put it out in a couple of months about 2020. And anybody who wants to read up on it, it'll be there in all of its, all of the astrology and all of the things. We can't cover it all now. It's a 15-20-page article. But I'm going to give you the highlights. First of all, I believe that we are probably looking at a one-term president. I do not see either one of these people, if they get elected, getting reelected. Now, again, I could be wrong. I'm not 100%, but this is what everything is pointing towards. We are going to have to redefine our political situation in this country. We're going to have to do it fast over the next 4 years. So whoever gets elected right now is going to be a momentary person who is put up there, but either one of them gets into the...
Well, you know what's so strange, though, Mitchell? It's really just common sense. All these candidates have to do is sit down and analyze with their experts and cabinet members what really needs to be fixed, and you can do it quickly, whether it's taxation, pulling out of other countries, stopping this aggression in these other countries and building infrastructure? It's not. God, it sounds like I'm running. I mean,
I would vote for you.
Jeez,
I would vote for either.
My God, it's not that difficult.
No, I know it isn't. So why is it so complicated? Is it greed? Is it that everybody's got a brown paper bag with goodies in it? I don't know. It that seems too easy. I mean, because I happen to think that many people, most people, really do want what's best for everybody. They do. I don't think most people are looking for trouble. I don't even think most politicians are. But once you get power, they say power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. I don't know, you know, if they offered me that kind of power, how I would respond to it, frankly, but I wouldn't want it to begin with. But some people, and it shows in both Hillary and Donald's charts, want power. They do. They want to be important. They want to have a say. They want a statue. As Mel Brooks once said, they asked him, why does he make movies? He says, I want a statue that says Mel lived. They want that statue that says Donald is important. Hillary was the president. All of this stuff. And this clouds the issue, and it clouds their ability to see simply what has to be. You talk about infrastructure? My God, Eisenhower built the highway system. Roosevelt put everybody to work by building dams, by rebuilding America. That's exactly what we need. We need to put everybody to work on these big projects. But then you're talking about big government, and a lot of people don't want big government. Well, you can't have it both ways. You can't rely on the private sector to do these things because it's all about greed. You have to rely on government, but then you start talking like a big government Democrat and all the rest of it. It becomes difficult to create the dialogue because right away everybody's angry the minute you open your mouth. Well, we should have more infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Who's going to pay for that? Well, the government has to cause more taxes. We don't want more taxes. And you have all these fights. So nothing gets done. And then you have we are frozen, as you know, in our Congress. It's ridiculous. We are a two-party system that's going nowhere. So in 2020, between now and 2020, if they created a new political party, the American Party, whatever you want to call it, and the moderate Republicans and the moderate Democrats and everybody came together in the middle and said, look, we got to stop this. Because we're not getting anything done. And we could redirect things before 2020. We can avoid some of the issues that are coming up. However, we are not going to avoid all of them. And 2020 is a year of serious, serious difficulties. And it's not just 2020. It begins in 2019 and it goes till 2023. So we're looking at the whole next presidency. And there may very well be, I don't even like to say it out loud, but there could be a nuclear incident in this country, whether it's an accident or whether it's terrorism. I don't believe that North Korea is going to attack us, because if they did, they would cease to exist 12 minutes later. I don't think that that's where it's going to come from. I think it's coming from the anger and the animosity and the collective, humanity that's going on. And frankly, you know, global warming, I mean, whatever the individual may think about it or not think about it, I don't really care at this point. If you don't believe in it, you're on the wrong side of history. It's so obviously occurring, and the result of it is going to be financial and political, and it's going to create terrible problems for the animal kingdom and everything. They say that the population of Africa is going to quadruple in the next 20 years.
How are they going to feed themselves? They can't feed themselves now.
That's exactly right. And what they're doing is they're killing lions and eating them. More lions are being, apparently, from what I'm reading, are being eaten than being, hunted for trophies. Well, you have to create a change in the world one way or another. The United Nations is a toothless tiger, but there has to be some way to do this. I don't believe this. Look, George, this is why, and again, many of your listeners may disagree with me, but I don't believe that isolationism is the answer at this point in human history. Because if we do that, how long do you think America will stay strong if it blocks itself from all of its treaties and its trade and the rest of it. I know there's all kinds of problems with some of the trade agreements. I don't think they're, some of them are very bad. They really are.
Yeah.
And I also don't want to be in wars all over the country, all over the world. I'm a pacifist by nature. I don't believe in any of that. I think there has to be a way to create, well, Europe has tried to create a unified Europe after slaughtering each other for thousands of years.
Well, didn't we learn our lessons from Vietnam? No.
No.
We didn't. Iraq's a disaster.
Right.
Afghanistan's a disaster.
Of course.
Libya, we didn't even send troops in. That's a disaster.
Well, you know, you talk about Vietnam. The other configuration that's happening in 2020 is that Saturn is conjunct Pluto. And I'm going to give you a very, very quick
Okay, and then we'll take some calls. Go ahead.
Okay. Very quick rundown. This is what happens when Saturn is in hard aspect to Pluto. 1914 to 1915, beginning of the First World War. 1922, Mussolini and Stalin come to power. 1931, Hitler comes to power. 1939-40, the Second World War begins. 1948-49, Mao Zedong.
All the same astrological chart.
All the same configuration. Hard aspect between Saturn and Pluto. 1955-56, Eisenhower sends the first advisors to Vietnam. 65-66, 125,000 are sent to Vietnam, and the draft explodes. 73-74, the peace accord is a failure, but in any case, and the oil embargo. Even 1982 to 1983, the Falkland Islands War. Every single time. 93 to 94, Russia invades Chechnya. 2003, the Second Gulf War begins. You know, and I look at these configurations astrologically, and it frightens the hell out of me. Obviously, we are heading for some sort of an international situation in 2019, 2020, somewhere around there, that if we do not make plans, now it could be something minor. The Falkland War could have exploded, but it didn't. It became a little skirmish, and so, you know, the Brits took the Falkland Islands, and that was the end of it. But the First World War, the Second World War, all of these wars begin under the same configuration. And this is what fascinates me about astrology.
Why does that, though? Why does it work that way?
Well, are you asking me how astrology works? I don't think anybody's ever going to know that.
Well, no, but I mean, isn't it bizarre that all these episodes would occur during these astrological signs?
It's bizarre unless you study astrology. Look, There are a lot of astrologers out there. There's some very, very good astrologers out there. And I'm in contact with many of them, and some I agree with and some I disagree with. But we all study it because we started to study it and went, holy mackerel, I can't believe it. Look at this. Every time this happens, this happens. And so, you know, you start to use it. Look, I use astrology now for sporting events. I've got a client who is in the sports business, and he's been hiring me, and we've been going on this for about 3 years, and I picked the winner of the World Series. I picked the winner of the Super Bowl. I even told them that the Chicago Blackhawks were going to win. They were down 3-1 in the finals. They won the next three games, and then they swept, I think it was the Rangers. And it's through astrology. Astrology is an amazing, amazing thing. It's not for everybody to study. It takes several lifetimes to get good at it. I've got a lot of students. Some of them are incredibly bright, and they are just fascinated by it, and it becomes almost addictive, which is one of the problems with it, is that once you get into it, you say, I can't stop. Now, I chose to make it a career, and so this is what I do all day long, as I make myself nuts with the astrology. But when I saw 2020 was happening, I started to write these articles about it, and I realized just how powerful this configuration is going to be. And I looked back and started to do my homework and said, well, you know, and we're heading for something very, very serious. That's what made me realize how important this election is. You are not voting for an individual. You are voting for a perspective, for a party line, if you will. You're not voting for Trump or Hillary. You're voting for what they may be able to do, in my opinion, to offset some of what we're heading towards.
I sure hope that whoever gets elected will do some dramatic things to better the lives of American people.
Absolutely.
All over the place.
Absolutely, George. That's the only thing that's going to stop the anger that we're seeing now in the streets. whether it's Black Lives Matter or it's the Rust Belt and people are out of work and they don't know how to replace the steel mills and the coal mines, we've got to create new ways for people to have decent lives.
Absolutely.
Look, you know that Germany is going to be completely fossil fuel free very soon. They are the fastest growing. I also believe that what China is doing is burning coal and oil and gas as fast as they can to pull themselves into the 21st century, and then they are also making more solar panels than any other country. They realize this is a short-term solution, that we are going to have oil as a dying commodity. Fossil fuels will be gone, except in the third world countries, within a generation, which is one of the reasons why oil collapsed so much, in part because, you know, America drilled so much. We are now the number one producer of fossil fuels and exporter of fossil fuels in the world.
I think we're beating the Saudis, aren't we?
We are. It's unbelievable. And under a Democratic president. I want you to realize how much that is, how contradictory that is. Yet.
All right, well, let me ask you this, though, Mitchell, before we hit the break, and then we'll get our calls are lining up here for you. Between now and 2020, what's going to happen?
That depends on who gets elected. It depends on the Supreme Court justices. It depends on whether or not we can break the stalemate in Congress.
So it may or may not be bumpier than 2020.
Well, you know, one of the reasons why I'm on your show is if I can reach a few people out there who might say, well, you know what, maybe he knows what he's talking about, but it certainly sounds that we want to improve the country, want to improve the world, and if we really are heading to this precipice, maybe we can avoid it. And I'm an optimist. I think we can. I think we have the capacity. We certainly have the resources. It's not that America's poor. It's, as we all know, a handful of people have most of the goodies, and everybody else is killing themselves to pay their rent. Well, that has to change, too. And the only way that's going to change, this is, you know, Bernie Sanders, whether you like everything he says or you don't. Is he too much a socialist? I don't know. But
he was.
Well, of course. But a $15 minimum wage doesn't seem so outrageous at this point in history, you know?
Well, I don't know. Depends
on
what kind of
business. I
don't know
either. Again, but George, you see how difficult it is. Does that limit business? Does it make it difficult for small businesses to run? Is it anti something? I don't know. I'm not getting into the right or wrong of Bernie or of Donald or of Hillary. I'm looking at it from the point of view of what I see as an astrologer and what I see coming up in 4 years.
Okay, stick with us, Mitchell Lewis. We're going to get to your calls. Those of you on hold, we will get to you when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, of course. And next hour, we've got a very special guest. Debbie Vigay joins us, and we are going to be talking about her work in the field of demons. She is an expert on demonic oppression, so get ready for that. I'm going to warn you, though. If any of you are scared, well, listen for a little bit, but I don't want to ruin your evening where you'll never get to sleep after the show. She's quite the person. And again, we're going to be talking about demons next hour. Our special guest, of course, this hour is Mr. Mitchell Lewis, and we're going to take your phone calls with Mitchell here on Coast to Coast. Let's go to Keith, truck driving in Iowa. Keith, welcome to the show.
Hey, George, we the creatures of the night salute you. Well,
thank you, sir.
I'd like to ask Mitchell, the KKK has been on quite a tear for really the past 40 years, and I'm just wondering if they're, is that ever going to collapse and, like, completely go away, or are they going to continue, fomenting the racial hatred the way they have? You know, particularly with their new tendrils like Black Lives Matter and so on, and like the way they've taken over the Black Panther Party and such like.
Interesting question, Mitchell. I'm not sure that you can react to that about the KKK and astrology.
Well, I don't know whether I can react on it directly through astrology, but Keith, the truth of the matter is that the anger and the hatred is just swelling up in this country terribly. And as I said earlier, We're heading into such a difficult time in 2020 that some of this could be, you know, it's going to be internal in America. It's racism. It's hatred. It's the division, and we need to come together. I hate to sound like a Pollyanna, but I believe that our country can heal, and we've been dealing with racial problems from the beginning of our nation. It has not stopped. There's a tremendous rise in anti-Semitism here. There's a tremendous rise in a lot of hatred. It's not just Muslims that people are afraid of. We're afraid of our own people. And this is not going to, you know, I hope that we can stop it. You know, I am an optimist, but I'm afraid that if we don't, the next 4 years are going to lead to a terrible catastrophe. And it could manifest in a number of ways, not just one.
I always like to mention the movie The Christmas Carol about Scrooge. And as he's looking in with one of the ghosts of the future, you know, he sees Tiny Tim. And then they talk about the next scene, Tiny Tim apparently has died. And he's saying, you know, spirit, are these things that will be or could be? And I think that's what you're saying, Mitchell. These are things that could be, not necessarily will be.
Yes, exactly, George. Look, I do believe in change. If I didn't, I wouldn't bother studying astrology. You can go to a psychic who's going to tell you you're going to marry a tall, dark, handsome stranger and you're going to live in, you know. I don't believe that. I believe that our fates are not predestined, but that our nature might be. And if we can change the nature, we can change our future.
All right, to the phones we continue to go. Medford, Oregon, Linda Marie is with us on the wild card line. Hi, Linda.
Hi, George. Hi, Mr. Lewis. I'm a Scorpio myself, and I'd like to know what's the year ahead. And also, since you see, well, I hope you're wrong but about Hillary running this election, but if you see her winning this year's election, do you see her winning the 2020 election as well?
No, I think there's a one-term presidency, no matter who wins, frankly. And Linda, as far as your chart goes, if you want, you know, you can email me, and we can either set up a reading, or if you just want a quick little something, I can do that for you. It's tougher to do it on the air, because all Scorpios are not going to have the same year. First of all, Hillary's a Scorpio, as you know. So if you don't want her to win, it may not be a good year for all of you. But it doesn't work that way. We all have our own charts. And while, you know, what you're talking about is what we call sun sign astrology. You read it in the newspapers. All Leos are going to have this. All Cancers are going to be that. All Scorpios. And I just don't believe it. I think each of us are quite individual. And your own chart will have a lot to say about what's going to happen to you. But I will tell you that Scorpios have had a bit of a rough time the last couple of years. And I'm hoping that it will get better for you all. I'm not a Scorpio. I'm a Cancer. But it has been a very rough period for the last couple of years for many of my Scorpio friends. And now it just looks like it's going to lighten up a bit, if that gives you any solace at all. But otherwise, you know, if you want to contact me for a reading or something, you know, we can work something out. Please do that. It's easier than doing it over the phone, you know, like this.
Mitchell, the latest poll that came out a couple days ago shows that Hillary is leading Donald Trump by 9 points in the Pew, P-E-W poll. Are these polls going to go back and forth as we get close to election night?
Well, sure. You know, look, you know, with the polls, with her leading by 9 points after everything that's happened recently, it just kind of indicates what I've been saying. And again, this is not my personal feeling, this is just the astrology, but it seems to indicate that the country is leaning towards Hillary, at least against Donald Trump. Now, George, like we said earlier, if there's a change over the next couple of weeks or a couple of months, we're a long way away from the election. We got 4 months. That's a lifetime in politics.
Oh, it sure is.
and anything can happen, and the polls can go back and forth, and maybe after the Republican convention, Donald gets a bit of a boost, and then when Bernie comes online in the Democratic convention, Hillary gets a boost, and then something else will happen, and that'll change people's opinions back and forth. And with the volatile situation that we're in right now, anything can happen. People are scared. Again, that's the word for tonight is fear.
Their acceptance speech is going to be very important this time, I think.
Very important. And who do they pick to
be their VPs? Yeah.
For their VPs, and who do they pick at the convention to announce them? Who's going to announce Donald Trump? And now the next president of the United States, Mr. Donald Trump, who's it going to be?
Well, you know what? It'll be Chris Christie if he's not the VP pick.
You know, you're probably right.
You know, and if he is the VP pick, then, maybe he wants Marco Rubio to do it. Maybe they've settled.
Maybe they have. And the Democrats, I don't know. It would be kind of cool if Bernie got up there and did it, you know. But
I wonder if she'd have Bill do it.
Oh, I think that would be a big mistake. I just think, Bill was a pretty good president, but I think he's made a few errors.
He made a couple. Let's go west of the Rockies. Tom's with us in Port Angeles, Washington. Hi, Tom. Go ahead.
Hello, George. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Say, Mr. Mitchell, I wonder, having humanity witnessing right now its ingenuity and its endeavors in the solar system, by parking a probe in orbit around Jupiter, is there any astrological relevance to that achievement and, going to the biggest planet in the solar system?
Well, I don't think there's a directly what one would call an astrological one, but we're expanding our awareness. I believe with the universe being as large as it is and with our information of it growing exponentially, that we are going to start to realize that there are countless planets out there. So many you literally can't count them. And the more we learn about it, about the universe, about our place in it, it's going to change humanity. I mean, if the aliens landed and said, here we are, obviously humanity would be altered forever and our governments would change and we wouldn't quite know what to do with it all. So just by learning more about our own solar system and by going to Jupiter, there's a reason why we've decided to go to Jupiter. The Native Americans call Jupiter the second sun. It's larger than all the other planets combined. And in astrology, Jupiter rules all things in life that are expansive. It makes a lot of logical sense if you study astrology properly. And with Jupiter being so big, it literally is offering our species a chance to expand our point of view and our consciousness. So I think that indirectly, you're right, it does have an astrological perspective. But it doesn't change the astrology because we put a tiny little orb out there. But it has changed our awareness of it and our consciousness of it. So, I'd say yes, you're probably right, it does.
Time for a few more calls and then the clock is going to get us. Plus, I want you to wrap things up for us, Mitchell, with a little summation here. Let's go to Karen in Santa Clarita, California, first-time caller. Hi, Karen, thank you.
Hi. I love your show. I love you. I'd love to marry you.
Oh, really? Send pictures?
Oh,
Tom
yes,
is soliciting
definitely.
Pictures.
I have a really crazy couple questions. Do you know when possibly we would be having an earthquake for Southern California here? And the safest place to be, where would that be? Not just in case of earthquake, but just the safest place to be. I've always wanted to go to New Zealand, and I really wonder if I'm ever going to get there. The last thing, I know it's kind of a complicated, mixed-up question, but I have a handicapped friend, and they cannot figure out what's wrong with him. He was born on 5/31/64, and he's in terrible pain all the time. And
is he confined to a wheelchair, Karen, or anything like
almost,
that?
Almost. He's in terrible pain. and he's been to all of you, which they keep saying, we can't see anything. And I can't believe it, because I see the pain, and he's on crutches, and he's just about not able to be on them anymore.
All right. Well, let's address, first of all, if you can, Mitchell, the earthquake. Ironically, I had a story tonight where business leaders in California said that they are not equipped to handle anything 8 or above on the Richter scale.
I heard that, George. That's very frightening, tell you the truth. Well, I cannot, I have not looked into when the next earthquake will be, but I certainly could. And if you email me and remind me that we spoke on the show, I'll do a little work on it, and I'll post
it. Well, and let us know. Let us know when you post it, and we'll put a link up for you.
Absolutely. And I will look into that, because I have many, many friends in California, and I happen to love California. I really do. It's every chance I get to go out there, I do. And it would be just a catastrophe for the whole world. California has the 8th largest economy in the world. And if it were to suffer a major earthquake, California feeds half the world. It's just, you know. So the answer is that I'm not sure, but I will spend a little time on it. And I always, whatever people want to know is what I work on, because there's so much to look at. As far as your friend's chart goes, I'm taking a quick look at it right now.
May 31st, 64.
May 31st, 64. We don't know the time, which would make a big difference, but your friend has Neptune in opposition to Mercury and Mars, which shows a potential weakness. It depends on the time that he was born, because that's what we call the rising sign and the house cusps, and that would tell me exactly how this would manifest. If you want to reach me and you know, book a reading and take a look at it, I'll be happy to tell you. But I will tell you that's the main configuration right there, is that the Neptune is weakening parts of his body in such a way. You know, when I do my medical work, I tell people that we are made up of the physical, the psychological, and the spiritual. And if any one of those three is sick, they are all sick. We need to find the cause of the illness. If it's spiritual, that's how you deal with it. If it's psychological, you go through therapy. If it's physical, you deal with it through medicine. I've had a number of clients that I've gotten into therapy, and all their symptoms have disappeared. I had one client whose neck was disintegrating, and I'm doing the reading, and I said to her, "Is your mother's dead, isn't she?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "How did she die?" "Well, she died because her vertebrae disintegrated, and the daughter sat there and watched it happen for years. And she had absorbed all of the pain of her mother into her own neck. It had become chronic and physical, so it couldn't be dealt with any longer just on a psychological level, but that was how it was created. So if we can figure out exactly what's wrong with your friend and where the pain began, there may be a solution for it that Western medicine can't handle. You know, there are many different ways to deal with a problem, and I'm not a big fan of Western medicine. I'm far more interested in alternative ways and in dealing with diet to change your heart and diabetes and things like that. But we have to do what we can do and what we're capable of. But that's what I would look into. I would say it may not be a physical problem. It may be a spiritual or psychological problem. And if we can address it and identify it, it may be fixable.
Mitchell, is there anything to astrologically explain why people are acting weird and whacked out right now?
Well, besides the fact that we're humans. Yeah, it's the Saturn-Neptune square that we started our talk with, George. That has been such a difficult aspect for the whole world. I've been writing about it in my newsletters for well over a year. And because Saturn is stability and structure and responsibility, and Neptune could care less about any of that. It's religious and spiritual, and it wants to deal with things on a whole different plane. If you know any Pisces, for example, they tend to not be so much on this planet. And Pisces is ruled by Neptune. So once that square completes in September, my hope is, my prayer is, that humanity will settle down a little bit. And I'm hoping that in the fall, it will get a little more realistic. Everything that we have relied on, that we believe in, seems to be dissolving. And Neptune dissolves, it dissipates whatever it contacts. This is why your last caller, I said that Neptune is in opposition to Mercury and Mars and even the Jupiter in the chart. It's dissolved and dissipated a lot of the energy that this person would normally use. And it has to do with the time of birth, so it shows exactly where it's affecting the body. But that's exactly what it is. It's Saturn square Neptune, creating great fear and an inability to focus and to find solid footing. We all feel like we're standing on quicksand. We don't know what's going to happen next.
All right, my friend Mitchell, let's stay in touch. Let's find out what happens in the future. As of right now, Mitchell Scott Lewis is predicting Hillary Clinton will defeat Donald Trump in the presidential election in November. Now things can change. Who's there? We'll check in with him as we get closer to this date. But as of right now, that's his prediction. Up next, demons on Coast to Coast.